Okay, Megan, you can let them in. Hey there. Welcome, everyone. I'm Sue Clement. Welcome to our Roadmap to Revenues. It's our live training Q&A, training and Q&A. So get your questions ready for ambitious entrepreneurs ready to scale from six to seven figures. And each session, I dive into different business topics. And today, I'm really excited about the one I've got lined up for you because I like to help both the business and the business owner grow and thrive. So there's kind of two of us in that equation. Because today, we're talking all about how to stop hiding and how to play bigger and step up into your success. So, yeah, I'm sharing some really personal insights and stories from my past, places and times where I found myself maybe achieving less than I wanted or less than I desired, and then what I had to do to turn that over and to actually step up and get the results. And now, ultimately, my first company, I grew to a multi-seven-figure business. And so, really, it's kind of the inner game of business success is what I'm handling today. And maybe you know what I mean, because have you ever really felt that you're working like a dog, you're doing all the right things, you're listening to the gurus, your coaches, your mentors, whatever, you're reading the books, you're doing the stuff, and yikes, you're not getting the results. And you see people that you perceive as maybe less talented, less experienced, and they're doing way better. And you're wondering, how the hell did that happen? Well, I'm going to share with you some insights that might give you a little bit more light on why that might be happening, and more importantly, what you can personally do to make the difference, to shift that so that you can earn and have all the success that you desire. I think that's pretty good. So thank you for joining us. Whether you're listening live, and I love that many of you are live today, or whether you're listening to the replay later, that's cool too. So thank you. And I just want to put this out here. We're going to have some questions at the end. So, feel free to type your questions in the chat. Megan, my assistant's here today, and she'll be kind of monitoring the chat for me. And if you're watching the replay later on, type in your questions in the comment, and I always cycle back, and I'll be more than happy to answer them for you. So I am best known as a revenue acceleration expert for business owners. And I've actually worked with over 180 different industries in five countries. So I've been around a long time. I've been doing this for 20 years. And I'm usually talking about marketing and sales and increasing revenues and getting more clients and all of those things. But today, it's really not about a marketing strategy because sometimes we don't really need more marketing strategies. We need to work on that inner game. So, as I said, if you feel like you've been kind of stalled out, well, you're in the right place today. So, I just want to kind of find out from the people here in the chat. Why don't you type in, tell us if you've ever kind of been surprised or wondered how someone did better than you did. And it's not really a comparison thing, but sometimes you feel like you should have more success. So if that's ever been you, then type hell yes in the chat. Let's kind of get this chat warmed up. Megan, I'm going to introduce you here. Let's say you say hello so people can see you on the screen too.
Hi everyone, nice to see you.
So let's get diving in on this. I promise that I'm going to pull back the drape and really expose some ideas that will help you think and grow like a CEO, which is kind of my what's the word, tagline that I like to use. And I am no stranger to business success. My first company was an employment agency that I grew from startup to a multi-seven-figure business, actually 5.2 million before I sold it. And in the last 20 years, I've been taking those strategies that worked for me to grow a successful business and helping business owners just like you have more success and grow a more profitable business. And how I do that is I have my CEO system, and I'm just going to dance that quickly because we're going to be diving into one of these topics today. And the first one is the CEO mindset. What got you here won't get you there. I know that sounds so cliched, but it's true. As we grow and as we evolve in business, we also as individuals need to grow and evolve as the business owner. Owning a multi-seven-figure business is different than owning a $500,000 business, than different than owning a $50,000 business. And so it takes different evolutions as you grow. The second part of my framework when I work with clients is to know their numbers. I know everyone groans on this one, and it's because if you don't understand the numbers that if you don't understand the numbers, you don't manage your numbers within your business, what happens is that you're not going to be making financially strong decisions. And so understanding what numbers to measure, what matrices that you need to kind of tap into will make a huge difference. And part of knowing your numbers, of course, is understanding your profitability and a lot on pricing. That's really where I do a lot of good work with clients, is helping them up level their pricing. The third one is marketing. Understanding that marketing, that growth engine. If you don't have marketing, if you don't have leads, you're always going to be struggling and chasing your tail. And of course, after marketing follows sales, and having that acceleration to your business is being able to close the clients that you get. So all those prospects become clients. And then ultimately, as you grow a bigger business, is you need leadership skills, because you can't be the bottleneck of your business. If you're trying to do it all, that's exactly what will be happening, and you'll be slowing down your success. So today we're going into all about the CEO mindset, and that's where we're kicking off today. Here's the wicked truth of this. I'm going to be sharing some things that you probably have heard before. Okay, I'll be real upfront. Some of them might even feel a little cliched, and you're going to go, oh, I've heard that before. But here's the thing. Do you know it, or do you know of it? When we know of something, we've heard it, we've read it, we've seen it. But when we know it, we're actually doing it. We actually are experiencing it. So I'm going to challenge you that, do you know it, or do you know of it? And so if you only know of it, then this is your opportunity to be able to kind of begin to embrace it a little bit differently at a different level, and step into it and see how it can impact your business as you go forward. So once again, we're talking about how to play bigger, how to step up into your success. And I really believe that all of us can be successful, ridiculously successful. But here's the thing. It's not about what you're doing or not doing. It's about who you are being. I know, I hate to hear that, who you are being. And what it really leads to is that it's all about you. Your success starts with you. You are the sole provider of it, all right? Sure, we can have happy accidents. We can bump into someone at a networking event and they can buy from us. We can send an email out and something wonderful happens. We get invited to be on a podcast, and it does us really well. There's lots of different things that can come our way, but ultimately, I believe that all of those things can be traced back to who you are as the business owner. That's really where it starts from. And so when I look at different companies and different businesses, and as I mentioned, I coached a lot of different people over the years, and I always find it really intriguing why some business owners just seem to be like the blessed golden child. Anything that they did, they succeeded at. And other business owners, they're working like a dog and they're doing all the right things, but they're not really achieving the level of success that you'd think that they would. And they certainly thought that they would. And what it really boils down to often is what's going on in their mindset. And so let's go through. I've got five different strategies I want to share with you today. And the first one is, before I tell you that, you probably might guess from my question, I want to ask you a question. And I want you to think deeply about this. Now, just for a moment, pull a revenue number in your mind. How much money would you really honestly like your company to make this year? Is it 100,000? Is it 2, 5, 7, a million, more? So think of that number just right now. Really think of that number. Now, my next question I want you to think to yourself. You don't have to put the numbers in the page, although you could if you want to, but really just think for yourself for a moment. Do you believe it's possible? Do you believe deep inside that number you're going to get to this year? Or is it a wish or a want or a desire? So really what happens is I believe that success starts with what you believe. Okay, it starts here. It's like, what do I believe? If I don't believe something's possible, whether even it's an unconscious belief or a conscious belief, and yes, we have those unconscious ones, and they're the ones that trip us up. The conscious ones we can kind of cancel, and we can correct, and we can shift. But those unconscious beliefs, and they kind of come from our past, they come from experiences, they come, you know, they're kind of ingrained and embedded in us. But if we don't believe that we can be successful, then ultimately we're not. You know, what was it, Henry Ford, whether you believe you can or believe you can't, you are right. And it's so true. You know, you always have to kind of consider what it is that you believe is possible. And, you know, I want to just share with you a simple example. When I got married really young. I was like 19, the first time I got married. And my husband and I, we're both going to university, and we had bought a house. And so we had a first mortgage and a second mortgage, and we borrowed half a down payment. So yeah, you know, life was pretty bare at that point. Anyways, I finished my university and I was trying to get a job. I took recreation administration, so I was looking for a rec job. And I wasn't finding a job, but, you know, I was going to university full-time, working part-time. My husband was doing the opposite. He was going to university part-time, working full-time. And so we're kind of scraping ends meet. Anyways, I saw this job ad in the paper for working at a fabric store, and I knew how to sew. So I figured I can work at a fabric store. So I went and I, you know, got hired at this fabric store, and I worked there for 3 days. And it was a big, it was one of the first big box fabric stores, actually big box stores, period, in the city. And the owner lived in Calgary, and this was in Edmonton. And 3 days after working there, we're kind of unloading trucks and setting up tables and, you know, building this fabric store out. The owner comes to me and he says, "Sue, would you like to be the manager?" And in my naivety, I'm like going, "Sure." So I became a manager of this big 10,000 square foot store with a staff of about 20 or 25 people. All of them were older than I was. And the owner lived in Calgary, and we opened our doors for business. And at noon, he left. And there I am, never run a cash register before, never, you know, managed that many people. And certainly the dynamics of the people were quite interesting to boot. Well, here's the point I want to take on this, is that it is that rookie mindset. And I bet if all of you think back in your past, there's been things that you've been asked to do. And because you were a rookie, you were too new, too young, too inexperienced, too whatever, that you said yes. And what's crazy about this is that rookie mindset, I think, is what we need more of. Because as we get more seasoned, I won't say old, but as we get more seasoned, we have more life experiences. And in life will be failures. And there will be successes, but there will also be failures. And what happens, I think, over time is we get worn out. You know, we know that not everything's going to work. But when we have that rookie mindset, we're willing to give anything a go. And I think it boils down to what we believe. If we believe we're invincible, if we believe that we can do it, we generally will find a way to make it happen. And so that's really the first thing I want to talk about, is what do you believe about your success? Like, really believe. Is there a niggling little voice in the back of your mind that kind of says, "Yeah, but that would be nice, but..." You know, if you're having any of those thoughts, that's what's tripping you up in your journey to success. Because ultimately, the way I see it is that your beliefs create your thoughts. Your thoughts create your actions, and your actions create your results. And so it all kind of ties back to what you believe. And if you don't believe something to be true, chances are your thoughts are not going to roll out the right actions, and your results are going to be off target, I guess. So really, desire is not enough. A want and a wish is not enough. It's really about what you believe. And here's the interesting thing, is you get to choose. You get to choose. You have direct control. It's wholly in your hands what you believe. You know, there's always going to be people out there that are more successful than you are. But there's also going to be people behind you that aren't as successful. And I really believe that it's what you believe that will make the difference. You know, as I said, once again, Henry Ford, whether you think you can or think you cannot, you are right. So start evaluating, what do you believe? And then the day, you know, as you go through your day, stop and think about this. What are you believing? When you say that you're going to do something, do you really believe you're going to do it, or are you kind of wanting to do it? And catch yourself on that. Begin to evaluate what you truly believe. Do journaling work. Lots of different things you can do. Start considering what it is that you believe. Let's move on to number two. And I'm going to tell you a little story here. You probably have heard this one, but It's about Alice in Wonderland. And Alice is kind of lost in Wonderland. I don't know if you read the story as a child, but it was one of my favorites because I love the Cheshire Cat. But Allison is wandering lost in Wonderland, and she comes across the cat, and she goes, you know, to the cat, "Would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here?" And the cat goes, "Well, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to." And Alice says, "I don't really care where I get to." And the cat says, "Well, it doesn't really matter which way you go." And it is so true, because if we don't have clarity about where we're going, it doesn't matter which path you get. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do. It starts with the clarity of the end in, you know, what's the end purpose? What's the end direction? Where do you want to get to? Where do you want your business to grow to? It can't just be more. You know, that's one of the things I talk to prospects. I'm like, going, what are your plans for your business? They'll give me vague answers like, oh, I want more clients, or I want more success, or I'm going to do more of this or more of that. And I'm going, well, what does that really mean? And until you can actually get crystal clear about what more you want or what changes you want, then it doesn't really matter. You should stay in bed. Don't bother trying anything. It does come down to your clarity around that. And this is where I think a lot of people get tripped up, is that they get lost in the clarity because of the commitment that follows it. Because clarity is one thing, but as soon as we're clear about it, we need to bring commitment into the mix. You know, I think that lack of commitment is your success thief. If you aren't committed, you know, that's what's thieving or stealing your success. You need clarity about what you want to achieve, and then you need to be committed to it. And that clarity is so important, because without it, it's hard to be committed to something that you're fuzzy on. So, you know, fuzzy clarity give you fuzzy results. And so if your results aren't what you want them to be, I'm going to challenge you to say, how crystal clear are you about those results? Have you done the work of that? Have you really thought yourself through on that all the way? And that's really what I want to challenge you with is, you know, I know you're kind of going, well, is she talking about goals? And you know what? Goals is a funny word, and I'm trying to avoid saying, what's your goal? But ultimately, it's not so much the goal, it's what's behind the goal that I want you to think of. So your goal might be this year to make $500,000, right? Pretty worthy goal. But really, the goal itself won't be enough unless you're willing to do the work behind it. What I mean by that is, when you have a goal, is like, why? What is the big why for that goal? What is the reason for it? Why is it important to you? Unless you get crystal clear about that, that's almost more important than getting crystal clear about the goal, all right? Although they go together hand in hand. But you need to be crystal clear about not only, you know, what the goal is, 500K, but why? Because the why piece is what's going to make you stick to it when times get tough. And heads up, spoiler alert, times are going to get tough. They will. And so why is that goal important to you? And not like, oh, it'd be nice to have, or gee, I'd like the money. But really, then think of that. Well, okay, if it means more money to me, why is the money important to you? What would it bring to you? Oh, you could have some vacations. You could, well, we can't really fly too far anymore, but you could go somewhere. You could fly somewhere. You could buy something. You could get a house. You could put retirement money. Why is that important to you? So you want to kind of keep asking that question layer by layer down as you go, because it really is for you to understand why. And when we get that why, that clarity around why we want this goal, why is this important to us to achieve? Why are we heading in that direction? That helps you stick your commitment. We have more commitment when we really understand the big why about why we need something or why we want something. So don't be like Alice in Wonderland. Don't be like her and be lost and it doesn't really matter which way you go. Or I only want more clients, or I only want more success. I want more money. I want to hire more people. Those are fine, but that's not going to get you there. So it really truly is about your clarity, being able to stick that, because once we get clear about something, it's easier to be committed to it. And the more commitment we have towards something, of course, the more likely that we'll achieve that success. And that moves us on to the third point that I think is really critical, is your determination, because commitment yields determination. How determined are you to get this? Now, I have a funny story to share with you. My first company, as I mentioned, was an employment agency, and I grew it by cold calling. So I would pick up the phone, and we used to call it dialing for dollars, and I would quite literally phone businesses, ask to speak to the CEO, the operations manager, the warehouse manager, the whatever manager I could. And, you know, I don't want to say bully my way to an appointment, but I would basically, a cold call is basically selling the appointment. You're not selling the services on the phone, you sell the appointment. And so I would sell the appointment and I'd book sales calls. Now I'd either do it on the phone, or sometimes I would park my car in some industrial park and I would go warehouse to warehouse, and I'd walk in the door and I'd ask to speak with the warehouse manager or the operations manager. And that's how I got business. And yes, it worked, because we got $5 million in doing it. And so one day I walked into a seed food, like a fish processing plant. Now, we hadn't worked in a fish processing plant. That's one thing. I did industrial placements and clerical. But industrial placements was really where the money was for me. Because a clerical, you might get a data entry office, you know, operator, or you get a receptionist, or you get a secretary, and that type of, you know, skill level. But in a warehouse, they'd want 10 people or 20 people or 50 people. So there was way more volume of business, lower margin, but way more volume. So I really targeted industrial outsettings. And I kind of like that, because I love seeing how things are made. And I've toured, I got everything from a lot of food processing I've been in and out of, and baby furniture and phone books, and oh my gosh, all the different things I've seen made, which are really kind of cool. But nonetheless, this one day I was driving to Tilbury Industrial Park and I saw this big building. And of course, every big building is like, oh, they must need lots of people. So off I went in, I knocked on the door, and I ended up talking to one of the operations guys. And it was a seafood, or pardon me, a fish processing plant. I keep saying seafood, I wish it was, because seafood sounds more sexy than fish. But nonetheless, and I, you know, had an appointment with them, got my appointment, had the appointment. They had never used staffing services before. But the guy says, well, it sounds really interesting, Sue, but you have to run this past our CEO. And he had tried, and they weren't, you know, they were getting red flags saying, don't do it. So I said, well, I'll phone the CEO. There you go. So I got back to my office and I phoned the CEO. I tracked him down in Seattle and I phoned him, and oh my gosh, it was the worst phone call of my life. I mean, seriously, this man accused me of being a slave laborer. He says, we don't hire slaves. I don't. And then he just ripped my industry apart. He thought that everything I did was disgusting and horrible, and we mistreated people. And oh, it was like, you know, this is my livelihood. This is my passion. These are my employees, you know, my employees that I respected, valued, and appreciated, and made good money off of. It was a horrible call. Like, this guy just went on a rant with me. It wasn't like, no, I'm not interested, thanks, bye. It was this rant. And, you know, cold calling, you get all sorts of people. Some people are rude. Some people are aggressive. And some people, you know, just hang up the phone on you, and that's fine. But this man just ripped me apart. And I must admit that by the time I hung up the phone, my hands were trembling. I mean, I was just like almost on the verge of crying. I was so upset. I had never been so accosted on a sales call before. And, you know, it was just a terrifying experience. And yet I'm looking at this phone and it's like, I've got to pick it up again and make another call and make another call and make another call. And so really, it's your comeback story. You're going to have challenges, but what's your comeback story going to be? Are you determined enough to pick it up and do it again and do it again, even when it's a horrible experience? And I still, you know, when I do cold calls and when I train people on cold calling, I still always remember that experience. And it's a terrifying feeling, but it's almost like the Rocky movies. I mean, there's been hundreds of great movies of comeback stories, lots of them in sports. But nonetheless, is know that there's going to be speed bumps and know that you need to overcome them and that you have to be fierce about your success. You have to be fierce about it. You know, real mama bear, fierce, that you're going to have it regardless of what anyone else says to you, what anyone else believes of you or tells you about you. None of them can count. You have to be fearless about it. And you know, it's funny, I love this phrase, you don't need to be fearless, you need to fear less, right? You need to have less fear. Fear is going to be there, all right? I still get nervous. I still get apprehensive when I do big things. But it's, I fear less each time, because each time I do something challenging, each time I step out of my comfort zone, as I do that, I build the repertoire of success. I build the repertoire of, I survived this, I did this, you can do this too. And as you begin to do more risky things and you expand your comfort zone, you begin to fear less, less often, less amount. And so don't worry about being fearless, just fear less every day, because you are risking, because you're supporting yourself, because you're on your own team, you're giving yourself the pat on the back, and you're going the extra distance. That's really the important piece about determination. You know, I have a fox terrier, Tegan. I don't know if you can see him. He's on the couch back there, the little guy sleeping. But he's the most tenacious little animal I've ever seen. And when it comes to your success, you need to be tenacious. You need to be willing to go past and farther than you've ever had before and believe that you can do it, because that's what makes the success difference. You know, those people that you perceive as being less skilled than you, who are doing more and better things, they're just a little bit more determined. They're just a little bit more out there. They have more belief in themselves. They have that rookie mindset and they're more committed to what they're up to. It's not that they're more skilled. Sure, maybe they might be in some areas, but guess what? You're more skilled too in other areas. So determination is key. Your comeback story is key. And yes, I picked up the phone and I made more calls. I tell you, I took a little bit of break. I drank some water, went out for a little walk, came back, took a big breath and said next. And so that's what's going to take your success to move forward. All right, let's move on to number four. And I love this one because this is all about the power of your thoughts, or more importantly, the words. What do you say to yourself? This is where I catch a lot of my clients. You know, when they're talking about what they're going to do or not do, what they believe or they don't believe, all of those surface up in this. And, you know, I learned this phrase from my coach because, my gosh, guys, all of these things I'm saying are only things because I've lived them and walked through them and still am walking through them every day. Every day I need to reevaluate my commitment, my belief, my determination. But one of the things that one of my coaches said to me, I don't know, we were talking about, gosh, I have no idea. I don't even remember, but oh, it struck me to like getting fish slapped, you know, slapped in the face with a fish. When he said to me, when are you going to stop arguing for your limitations? When are you going to stop arguing for your limitations? Why are you arguing for why you can't do something? Now, if that wasn't an arrow straight through to my heart, I don't know what more could be. And we do this all the time, and we don't even know we're doing it. And this is probably one of the things that I most need to work on myself, and maybe it might resonate for you. You know, it's the yeah buts. When someone gives you a piece of advice or some information, or you read something by yourself, or you see something, you attend a webinar, attend this, or this week call, whatever, and you have a good idea, but immediately right behind that good idea is, yeah, but I don't think it'll work for me. Yeah, but it's good for her, but not for me. Yeah, but that won't work in my industry. Yeah, but they won't buy from me if I raise my rates. Yeah, but all of those yeah buts, that's what's, they're stealing your success. All the yeah buts that you put out there. It's so key that you really control your word. Remember I said your success is all within your control. It's your inner game. It's up to you. You know, what's that phrase? If it's going to be, it's up to me. Well, yeah, this is where you need to stop arguing for your success, for your limitations. Stop arguing for why you can't do something or why something won't work for you. Because as soon as you say, yeah, but, or that won't work, whatever story you come up with, you basically have just cut off that opportunity. And so you don't know if it's going to work or not work. You got to give it a go. This I find really interesting is clients will ask me, what's the thing I should do? And I'm going, well, I've got lots of ideas. We have to give them a go. We don't know for sure. Nobody has a crystal ball. You have no idea if it's going to be a raving success, a moderate success, or a dismal failure. And sometimes the same thing can be all three of those things at different times. That's the frustrating thing. So you never know, but it's your mental tenacity, your, you know, stick-to-itness, your ability to really think beyond and really consider, are you arguing for your limitations? Do you see limitations or do you see possibilities? Do you see all the problems in front of you or do you see all the possibilities? So if you are a problem-oriented person, and I gotta admit, I kind of like problems in the sense I love solving them, but really, it's not about finding more problems, it's about finding more possibility. And so stop arguing for your limitations. Stop talking yourself out of it. Stop telling yourself why it won't work. You don't know until you give it a go. So give yourself that grace. You know, we tell so many crazy stories. I was just talking to a client earlier in the week, and I was trying to suggest that they were undervaluing themselves, their price point, what they sold their services at a low price point. And I'm seeing so much opportunity for this individual. They are so gifted. They have so much possibility, but they don't believe in themselves enough to charge what they're worth. And maybe some of you listening in are in that same boat. Maybe you're thinking, oh, well, if I raise my rates, I'll lose my clients. Or if I raise my rates, that person wouldn't buy. Or a higher rate would be good for this company, but not for this person because they can't afford it. How do you know if they can or can't if you don't put the price out there? And if you put a high price out there and they can't afford it, then you can always renegotiate, take some services off the table, come up with a new price and make it work. But stop telling yourself the stories of why it won't happen. How often do you think, oh, that's too hard, or I can't do that, or I don't know how, or it's not working for me, or I'm not good at tech, or I'm not good at writing. Oh, that's my favorite. Whoops, busted. Or I'm not good at speaking, or I'm not good at whatever. Why do we keep saying those things over and over to ourselves? Every time you say, I'm not good at, or I don't know how to, you limit your success because your subconscious is going, okay, I guess she doesn't want to learn how to write today. All right, we've got to stop doing that. We're programming ourselves. We are programming our mind to have less than we could have. We're programming our mind to be less than we are. Stop arguing for your limitations. The words you say, words have power. They have huge power. Because you begin to believe what you say. The more you say it, the more you believe it. The more you believe it, the more you'll say it. It's this vicious circle that's really robbing you of your success. You know, and here's a cool thing that I learned. There's two different ways of doing this, how we can get out of these negative success stories. And one is to add the word yet. I don't know how, yet. I'm not good at writing, yet. Those are that little word, three little word, yet, creates so much possibility. As soon as I say yet, it means like it's not definitive. It means like I'm never going to be good at this. I'm just not good at it yet. Somehow that makes me feel more excited about trying it because, wow, I can overcome this. I can develop this. I can grow this. And another great phrase, I learned this from Kyle Cease. His phrase is, and I love that. So you might say to yourself, I can't do it, and I love that. I'm not good at speaking, and I love that. It's not working. And I love that. I know it sounds really ridiculous, but ultimately, when you add that phrase, just like yet, you create possibility. Instead of repelling it, rejecting it, entrenching it in concrete, you know, letting that concrete really set in there deep, we're making it light and simple, something we can blow away with a poof of our breath. And I love that. It just makes it okay. So there's no judgment to it. That's the other great thing with, and I love that, is you're taking the judgment out of it. You know, when we start judging ourselves negatively, well, my gosh, other people are going to judge you. Why would you want to judge yourself negatively? Let go of that. Let go of that. Got to get on your own team. You got to get your own pom-poms out. Be your best cheerleader. And when you start judging yourself negatively, you are actually taking the cheer out of your life. All right? So it's really important. Consider the words that you say. Catch yourself. If you have a mastermind buddy or a friend, work on that with each other. But catch yourself. How many times in a day do you think negatively, it won't work, I can't do it, I don't know how, it didn't work last time, why is it going to work this time? Any of those things. Anytime you catch yourself judging yourself, I can't do that, I'm not good at that. All of those things, let them go. Because those words are entrenching negativity into your world. And instead, once again, remember, we want to have belief. We want to have possibility. That's one of the things that always has worked for me. I call it hooked to possibility, when I hook on to something. And when, as soon as I can see something as possible, and I guess it goes back to my belief. When I believe something is possible, when I see it's possible, I get hooked to it. And when I'm hooked to it, I don't see obstacles. I don't see hardships. I don't see challenges. I'm just like marching on clearly through. That's what works for me. And whether I'm trying to lose weight or whether I'm trying to get clients or whether I'm trying to grow my business or improve relationships or whatever, when I'm hooked to the possibility, when I see it as possible, when I believe that it's attainable, nothing will stop me. But as soon as I come unhooked, oh my gosh, I lose clarity. We kind of go back to what we've covered already. I lose clarity. I lose focus. I lose my commitment. And I lose my success. So number four is, once again, power of your thoughts. Words have power. What are you saying to yourself? Make sure you're saying the right things. I don't know how yet. I'm not good at tech, and I love that. Okay, give those ones a go. I know you're gonna love that, because I think it's pretty cool. I'm gonna pause here and drink some water. If there's any questions, guys, type them in the comments right now. And I'm just gonna pause here for 1 millisecond here. Megan, do we see any good comments in the chat? I haven't looked at the chat yet.
Well, Karen says, love hearing all this. Thanks.
Cool, good.
Me personally, I absolutely loved fear less. It's so funny. It's like a different meaning when you separate the words like that. Yeah, loved it.
It makes a huge difference, because, you know, being fearless is like, oh my God, that sounds like a big task. Like, you know, when you're stuck in fear, how the hell can you suddenly become fearless? It's like, I'm not one of those movie stars that's going to jump over, you know, a cliff or something. But when we fear less, just a little bit less every time, it makes a huge difference. Okay, let's move on to number five. And number five, I want to, there's two thoughts on this one I want to share with you. I want to finish off the story about Icicle Seafoods. Whoops, I said the name of the company, but the fish plants. That's why I keep calling them seafood plant, but it's, yeah, anyways. So back to that fish plant that basically told me I was a slave labor driver. Well, here's a funny ending to that story. And it's kind of a long and winding story, but I'll just share it with you because I think it really has a special meaning to me, and I hope it will for you too. So my husband and I went into my office on the weekend. This is like years ago, my employment agency, because I was going to have him build out some shelves. We had to add some more shelves in our storage room. And so we were going to do that. And right across the street from our business was a McDonald's. So we had been working for a little bit. I was doing some paperwork and he was kind of working away with sawing up some wood. And we decided to go across the street and have breakfast. So there we are at McDonald's having our breakfast. And one of the ladies comes by to pick up our tray. And my husband, God loves, love the man. He would talk to everybody, absolutely everybody. And so he struck up a conversation with this woman about, you know, how does she, you know, how long has she been working at McDonald's or whatever. My husband would talk to anybody about everything. And so they got this little conversation going, and she was saying that they had just moved to the area and they were really struggling, and her husband didn't have a job and her son didn't have a job. And, you know, she was working there as hard as she could and as many hours, but wasn't getting many hours. And of course, you know, anyone says they're looking for work, I whip out my business cards. I'm going, we got labor positions. Your son and your husband probably could do them. So, you know, have them come to my office and we'll get them working this week. It would be that simple, quite frankly. Anyways, the weirdest thing happened to me. And it was just this calling that I had, because my husband Bruce went to the washroom, and then we were, you know, I was going to meet him at the door and away we go. And, you know, the lady was there, and for whatever reason, I reached to my purse and I pulled out a $10 bill and I walked up to her and I gave her this $10 bill and left. Anyways, we get to my office, and I don't know, I just felt compelled to help this woman. And we get to my office, and within about 30 minutes, the phone rings. And instead of letting it go to voicemail, I picked up the phone, and it was the fish processing plant. Yes, the fish processing plant calling me to see if I had 10 workers that I could send out that afternoon with gumboots. And I, like, the company that swore that they would never use me, that I was a slave laborer, I guess what happened is on site, on the local, you know, in the Delta office, they were short people. They had my card. They remembered me. I'd followed up with them after I talked to the CEO, and, you know, we couldn't make it go. Whatever, they actually made the local decision to reach out to me because they had, you know, fish coming in, tons of fishes coming in, and they needed some help. And I don't know whether the two stories are tied together, but I always kind of remember the generosity. And I was struggling at that point. You know, business wasn't always great. Those first few years were really tough. And I just kind of, it warms my heart to think that, I'd like to think that somewhere in the spirits and the heavens, that abundance mindset that I shared with this woman, abundance of giving $10 away, came back to me in like tenfold. Because this fish processing plant, the kind of the end of the story, the good part of the story, was that it actually became my number one biggest, best client. I don't know whatever happened to the CEO. I never talked to him again. But nonetheless, you know, they ordered these 10 people, and there I am in the office. I start dialing employees, trying to dispatch them to work. We didn't actually have jobs that needed gumboots, and trying to explain people what rubber boots were or gumboots were. It was a bit of a challenge, but we filled the order, went out on job site the next morning to check our people in and provide excellent service. And that was the happy ending of that story, was it actually ended up being my number one best client. And so, you know, we never know where success is going to come from. And I really believe that having an abundant mindset, you know, is really key to having more success. And so instead of being shut down and negative and feeling lack and scarcity, we have to believe that success is ours. We have to believe that there's enough success, there's enough clients to go around, that we can help other people. And sometimes even our perceived competitors, people in the same industry as ours, we can help other people. And in doing so, we land up helping ourselves. And so that's really the last piece of the mindset that I want to share with you, is having that abundant mindset, the belief that there's a business to be had, that you are enough, you have enough, you know, that success is your birthright. And you can, if you get out of your own way, you can have it. So that's really the piece that I want you to make sure you have, is that I think to be successful, to have more success, is you have to believe in the abundance of success. And so, wow, we covered a lot today. Let's just go through them really quickly. My 5 strategies for how to get the inner game of success working for you, and how to step up and play bigger, is it all starts with your belief. What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about your world? What do you believe about your possibilities? Can you hook to that possibility? Number 2 is commitment. Do you have clarity about what you really want to achieve? Do you know the direction of it? And do you know the why behind it? And once you do, are you committed to it? Number 3 was determination. having that fox terrier tenacity, being determined that regardless of what comes your way, you're going to climb over it, under it, around it, below it, above it. You're going to do whatever it takes to do that work. Because if it's going to be, it's up to me, right? Say that for yourself. It's going to be, it's up to you. Number four was the power of your thoughts. Watch your words. Your words will really impact your actions, and your actions impact your results, and your results will impact your beliefs, and it becomes this vicious circle. So really watch what you say to yourself. Are you saying what you need to say to move your business forward? Are you really on your own team, or are you ripping yourself down? And number five, of course, is the abundance mindset. And, you know, with abundance, I guess we could tie in that with gratitude. You know, having an attitude of gratitude is really an important piece of it too, but really having that abundance. You know, what we focus on, we get, and we have to believe that there's lots of it out there. So focus on what you want and believe that it's possible and there's lots of it there. Success isn't scarce. It's all around you. You just have to get out of your own way to get it. So that is our five strategies that I wanted to share with you today. And I'd love to hear which one of the five is one that resonated the most for you. Belief, commitment, determination, your words, power of your words, or abundance. Post it in the chat. I want to hear what some of the things that really resonated for you. Because remember, hearing something, knowing of it, is not as good as actually knowing it. So what one thing are you taking away from this call today that's going to impact you going forward? What are you going to listen for, watch for, consider, write about? All right, so let's get some chat going. Megan, you got any comments in there to share with us? And don't be shy, guys. Step up. Step up. That's also part of success, is stepping up.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for anyone to comment right now. It's just helping someone with a tech issue.
Okay. And any questions you might have? Any questions you might have about my journey and what I had to overcome, and maybe something that you're trying to overcome that you're stuck with?
Karen has something here. She said, I need to get more clear so I can commit to this new world of COVID-19.
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't talk about rejection, but you know, when we think what is, isn't, when we deny what's going on in front of us, that entrenches us to be stuck longer. If you want to get through it, you need to embrace and move on from there. It is what is. And, you know, people talk about the new normal. I don't, and call it whatever you want. It is just basically, you know, here, I just want to talk about this for a second. A lot of people say that because of the world situation, whether it's COVID or whatever else, but because of the world situation, business is down. And yes, you're right. Some people are, companies are shut down. Some companies are, you know, on minimal, you know, they're not completely shut down, but they're minimal. But I'll be honest with you, there are many, many, many businesses out there that are thriving. And it's really about it, you know, finding the opportunities that are out there. They're there. Sometimes we have to kind of step to the right or step to the left. You have to kind of do the cha-cha. And we will often find new possibilities. I mean, when you think back in life, in all the recessions and depressions we've had, out of each one has come some new birth of new concepts, new ideas that have radically changed the world and made people millions of dollars. So it's possible for you. So kind of, I just want to address the COVID thing. I don't really talk about it because frankly, I don't see it as a limiter. And if you see it as a limiter, then it will be. So think past it.
Absolutely. Michelle Larson says, I love the fear less. I believe when you treat others well, it always comes back to you.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. So those are the strategies I want to share with you today. Success is your birthright. It's possible. It's yours to claim. Get out of your own way. Stop arguing for your limitations. And one thing I didn't mention is, it's easier to do it with others than it is by yourself, right? That's why I have a coach. That's why I belong to a mastermind. That's why I love doing group programs, because when we can hold ourselves accountable, it helps us succeed in life. And so if you're looking for an accountability partner, if you're looking for someone to help coach you someone who will fish slap you and tell you that you're arguing for your limitations when you are, then I'd like to invite you to have the opportunity to chat with me. I work with clients one-on-one as well as in a group program. It's my Revenue Accelerator 90-day sprint to how much money can you make in 90 days. The next intake for that program is coming up next month. But ultimately, if you would like some support in helping you up-level your business, reach higher success, and achieve the things you want to achieve financially and personally in your business, then I'd like to invite you to have a conversation with me. We'll hop on the phone. We'll talk about where you are now. We'll get clear about where you want to go, and you'll go away with some clarity about that. We'll talk about what next steps would be the right option for you, and ultimately to determine if and how I can help you and if it's a fit for us to work together. And if it is, awesome. And if it isn't, that's okay too. I know that you'll go away with more clarity and more direction. So if you're interested in having a conversation with me, the simplest way of doing that is you can either direct message me or you can just go to sueclement.com/chat. Megan will type that in my chat box there. And you can just apply for, to hop on the phone and have a brief conversation with me. And we'll talk about what's next for you. So that's sueclement.com/chat. And I'd love to talk with you about your success and help you uncover some things that might be in your way and help accelerate your path to success. So once again, I'm Sue Clement, your Think and Grow Like a Seven-Figure CEO mentor. I'm all about business acceleration. And so get out there and go make money and go have a great day. Thanks for watching live or whether you're watching after the fact. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to put them in the question box on the website. If you're watching in the replay, that is, put the questions in and I'll be more than pleased to answer them. And also want to invite you to join my group, my Facebook group, which is called, I get stuck on this one all the time. We just changed the name. It's called Roadmap to Revenues. No, that's what this is. Megan, I'm so embarrassed. Help me, help me, help me. It was
Roadmap to 7 Figures.
Roadmap to 7 Figures. There you go. Get too many names going some days. Roadmap to 7 Figures. Check us out on Facebook. Anyways, thanks everyone for watching today. It's been delightful hanging out with you. And I wish you a ton of success wherever the world takes you next. All right. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye now.